everyone, and welcome to Active Architecture. I'm Kevin Batchelder.
I'm Jen Gethinger.
I'm Jay.
And we have our first guest host joining us today. Please welcome in Jesse Jackson.
Hey, everyone.
Appreciate you coming on, Jesse.
Excited to be here and talk a little dollhouse.
Yes, and today we're going to be talking, this is our podcast number 3 for the season 1, episode number 3, episode Stage Fright. Now, I hope everybody just didn't tune out when I said that.
wait, we have actual insight.
Now, we're just having a little fun because we know this is not many people's favorite episode of Dollhouse, but we do have many excellent things to talk about, so please do stick around. But first off, we wanted to thank you all. Now that the podcast is kind of picking up a little steam here, a lot of you have been telling your friends. Our download numbers are really going up, so is the feedback on our Facebook group and Twitter, so we'd love to see it, folks. The community aspect of this is really picking up, and we all love that.
Oh, definitely. And Facebook's been so much fun, and I can't remember the name, but whoever posted up the Wikipedia link for the unofficial Dollhouse soundtrack, thank you.
Yes, I think that was Weed Nerd on Twitter.
Yes, yep. Yeah, that's excellent. We do, as we said, we'll give more details at the very end, but we do have a Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, if you just want to search for Active Architecture, a Dollhouse retrospective, that should bring us up, and we'll get you in there and some of the discussions. And towards the end of the podcast, actually, we'll talk a little bit about some of the feedback. I had posted up an item that we'd be recording for this one, and we got some good thoughts from folks here and on Twitter. So please do let us know future episodes the same way, folks. If you have some thoughts, we'll be glad to talk about them. Also, too, I wanted to be sure and put out a shout-out for one of our listeners and a friend of mine that I got to meet at DragonCon last year, Angie, from the Hellmouth podcast, Hellmouth Empire, a Buffy podcast, and they also do an Angel cast and a Ringer cast. She's doing a charity fundraiser. If you go over to hellmouthpodcast.com, and we'll throw a link up in our show notes, Angie's put together quite a bit. She's going to be it's taking place in early March. I believe she's running a half marathon. And she's got a whole bunch of cool stuff up there. If you make some contributions, it's to support RAIN, which is the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. Angie's working real hard there. She's got some folks who have donated some, things like Buffy charms and signed comic pages from well-known artists and other things. So you can support a great cause, help out a friend, and maybe even get something in return yourself. So... All right. Well, that's some kind of, shall we say, podcast housekeeping as we get some things taken care of there. But let's start talking stage fright.
Cricket, cricket.
Yeah.
The room is silent.
I'm going to go ahead and throw this out here. I actually enjoyed this episode a lot more during this rewatch. And maybe it was because I was trying to make myself do that. I'm not sure, but I definitely saw where it had its merits. Yes.
You know, when I originally watched this, and I know this is considered the John Crichton of Dollhouse episodes, but I really never thought it was that bad of an episode. I thought that, and there's some reasons why, but I thought it was enjoyable, and I realized this is the third of the Fox 5. Correct? Am I getting that right, Justin?
Yes, I love that this Fox 5 thing is catching on. It's very nice.
That's right. No, see, I am not just a guest star. I am a listener.
Nice. I like this. I like this. Best co-host ever.
So I was really, I did, when Kevin sent out the word to people saying, hey, who would want to step in and co-host, I'm like, hey, I'll take this one because I thought it had a lot of merits. And I thought that the most important thing of the overall myth arc was we got to see that Echo sometimes goes off program to serve a bigger cause, that she isn't just literal in how I'm supposed to protect someone. She doesn't just take that mission literal. She takes it beyond its scope to do even further protection. And I thought that was an important part of the bigger myth arc. And that's why I don't think this episode is that bad.
I agree. I really enjoyed it, especially on this rewatch. I think, like Jen, I don't know if I was trying. I never hated the episode just because I love Dollhouse. And when I was watching it, I never hated it. I know a lot of people really, really disliked it. It was never my favorite. Dollhouse is capable of much better. But it was never something that I looked at as like, you know, that's the worst hour of television. It just wasn't a great hour for the show. But yeah, I agree with you. The little things here and there. I love the relationship between Sierra and Echo that's explored here. And I did, though, even still watching it, I did sort of feel like, you know, this is a job for the Charlie's Angels. Like, the whole time, I just see them smiling and singing, and I'm just thinking, you know, where's Charlie? Where's the Angels? Like, I know they're here somewhere.
Oh, that's an interesting parallel, actually, come to think of it. That certainly was...
You know, the three backup singers are the Angels back there, and they're taking care of the, you know, the singer. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I'm also old enough to have watched Charlie's Angels when it originally aired. So, yes, there were quite a few thin plot lines back at that time, too. So,
right there with you, Kevin.
I mean, no, Jesse makes some good points. I mean, that's probably the biggest takeaway for me, too, is this idea of, at this point, seeing Echo go, quote, rogue, in the sense of, you know, screw what's on the pre-programmed imprint, and she's going to find a way to get the job done in an odd way. So that's probably the biggest big arc item. I mean, the actual, quote, engagement of the week, this fueled some of the other discussions we had the last couple episodes a little bit about some of the, quote, concern about being maybe an anti-feminist show or way too much eye candy with the good, you know, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or so at the beginning. That's just a little more than just, you know, watching the singers and a chance for Eliza to get out there as well. So, you know, you got to kind of balance it. But yeah, the initial run, I remember, boy, a lot of folks, when we were still waiting to see what the series were going to be, saw this one and went, uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting, too, because when I originally saw this episode, I remember thinking that Echo going, quote, off task was more her recognizing her friendship with Sierra over and above it all, rather than, you know, trying to see the bigger picture and do what she has to do to, you know, basically fix the person who's trying to kill Raina, even if it is Raina. And well, this go around, I do see it more as the latter, the big picture type thing. At the very end, that little look she shares with Sierra almost kind of implants for me the idea that we already know Echo's special. That's who we're following. But something's got to be a little special about Sierra, too, if she's still recognizing that friendship and also immediately understands when Echo just slightly nods her head no and just keeps going. So I think it kind of builds almost a little more character for Sierra than maybe we would have originally seen.
Yeah, and I think that little line at the end where Echo says, "I have to help her," and she kind of looks at Sierra, and I never really noticed as much when I had watched it previously, but I don't know. It's almost like she was doing all this, you know, for Sierra to help protect Sierra, and it was less the fact that she had to protect Raina because that's what she was programmed to do. It was more the fact that Echo herself wanted to protect her friend Sierra. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's part, I think, too, of the, for me, too, I think also this episode, even the first time around, got me thinking like, oh, we're going to maybe get a chance to see different kind of communication and relationships between the dolls a little bit, because we really hadn't have things played out quite a bit yet to know who was going to be, I don't want to say pairing up with, but maybe befriending each other, too. So that, at first, I was afraid after the first couple of episodes, it was very much just going to be the Echo show.
And I also think we should not discount that they were shooting for as wide an audience as possible. And I've talked about this on the initial run of Dollhouse that my wife is not a genre fan. She gave up on Buffy. She has seen only selected Angel episodes. I mean, she does not watch a lot of genre TV. And when the first episode of Dollhouse came on and it was getting barbecued, you know, on the internet. People were talking about how horrible it was. I said, hey, will you watch this show for me, with me, and see, do you think it's that bad? And she watched it and goes, no, I actually like it. I think it was a pretty interesting episode. And so she watched all the whole series, both seasons. And so I think some of these engagements of the week were kind of the slowly letting her into this more complex world, that not being genre friendly, she watched those and enjoyed that and got in the mindset where she can enjoy more of the more complex stories that they went to.
That's an interesting thought on that. Cause you know, I think Dollhouse's biggest pitfall or downfall was the fact that diehard Whedon fans were ready for it to jumpstart and be amazing from episode one. And if it wasn't that, it wasn't Buffy, it wasn't Angel, it wasn't Firefly, and it wasn't worth their time. I think putting it in that perspective shows not only bringing in a way to bring in new genre type fans, even if they're not per se genre fans, it makes the show more accessible to a wider audience. Now, that being said, that's where I think they lose a lot of the diehard fans. And I think that's a sad thing. It's a catch 22.
Yeah. But you also, if we're going to go down this rabbit hole, which is a good one, is that, go back to certainly Buffy and Angel. I mean, those first seasons were rough, folks. I mean, all have rose colored glasses now, but you go back and watch those, there's not a lot of great stuff in that first season. So I think some fans, unfortunately, were a little too conditioned to just assume, like you said, Jen, it was going to be awesome from episode one. Mm-hmm. And as Jesse did a good job of pointing out, it's still a TV business. You still need to find people who stumble in at episode four and still have to find a way to have them have a clue what's going on. It's the reality.
Yeah, I can tell you that backup singers were much better than... Was it Moloch, the internet demon? You know, and I love Buffy. I'm not bashing Buffy by any means, and I love every episode as bad as that one was. But I mean, you know, you have your bumps in the road. Not every episode is going to be a 10, especially when you're first starting out and trying to find your legs as a series and what kind of series you want it to be, what kind of series the network wants it to be, and so yeah, I agree.
Yeah, every series has its Double Meat Palace.
Oh, I love that one. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm a camp fan through and through.
But it is. But it makes for some interesting stuff. I mean, it wasn't so much about that I wasn't a fan of the singer idea or the big glitzy, you know, pretty people, you know, type thing, as much as the whole a little over the top, you know, I'm going to let a stalker kill me, so I go out on top. I mean, that part for me was the one that got me rolling my eyes a little bit more. But like we said, this is still a concept that's done in a lot of shows, and it still kind of worked here when you looked at those different things. Because along with all the things you mentioned, we also this one have got the opportunity to meet Sierra's handler for the first time here, Hearn, who really, you know, that's a big twist a little later on in the series too.
Yeah, did everybody else kind of go boo?
Yes, yes.
Yes, we did. because did not like him.
No, but we also, I don't recall the first time I saw this episode, especially those early scenes of him and Boyd in the truck. I mean, he's very condescending, even more than I remember him being, because knowing what he's going to do a little later on.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was set up as Mr. Creepster pretty fast.
I have to say, I have a problem because... Boyd has never been like, I've never been a huge, huge fan. I've always kind of liked him, but never had, you know, one way or the other, I've never had a big opinion of him. But on this rewatch, I'm finding that I'm really liking his character. But then I'm finding myself fighting against that because I know what kind of character he becomes. And so in this episode, I'm like, wow, I really like this character. I'm like, no, I shouldn't like this character. So I'm having issues with the character of Boyd because I actually do am really enjoying him in this rewatch, but I shouldn't.
Justin, I am so glad you brought that up because I will tell you that because of circumstances, I rewatched the episode before I heard y'all's discussion of the second episode. the, you know, greatest, you know, the dangerous game one. And so I had not heard y'all's thoughts. I had not revisited. And so I'm watching the episode and I'm going, I loved Boyd. Boyd was my favorite character. And now I'm almost pissed when I see him. I mean, anger. And in fact, I'll talk about that in a minute. And so when Justin mentioned that in the discussion, you know, of the target, I went, yes, yes, Justin, that's exactly how I'm feeling. And so I don't know. And I'm actually concerned that I will not enjoy this rewatch because of this ultimate how I know things turn out. And I, at least this one episode, I did not enjoy it as much. I was bored by the Paul scenes because I know they weren't real. But this is, you know, he's not a Russian monster. He's a doll. And I was like, I was bored by that part of it. And so I'm wondering, knowing the full story, am I going to enjoy this rewatch as I watch it and try and listen to y'all's podcasts?
What works for me there is very much compartmentalize the Boyd character to, you know, the last few episodes of the series as being a different place. I think there's too much of him to enjoy. And I go back to the Man on the Street commentary, where Joss at that point talked about how Boyd was very much then the moral center, moral compass for this show. You know, everything was kind of, he was the center wheel of a spoke, you know, and everybody else was to a certain degree off of him. So I'm not putting, you know, I'm not throwing popcorn at the screen when I see him now in the early episodes, because I realized that was really a big retcon and everything else. So I'm able to at least somewhat block that out. Otherwise, I think I'd be in the same place with you folks.
Yeah, I have those moments where I'm watching it and I'm like, oh yeah, I love Boyd. And then, oh yeah, okay, no, I can't, it is, it's getting to the point where I can't think that way if I want to keep enjoying it. I really, it's almost to the point that I think I've got to separate season one and season two as almost, you know, kind of two different continuities. And I'm sure a lot of people are out there, you know, probably fussing, well then, you know, then it should be two different shows, or, you know, you can't do that, or this is, but I think, just for the sake of enjoying it, I'm going to have to do that in my brain.
Did anyone else laugh when Topher told Claire, you're going to get married and have Scally babies?
Scally babies, that was my favorite quote.
Because I'm just thinking, it could have been true. It could have happened.
Yes, it's exactly right. I literally had to rewind that and make sure I had that exact quote, because that was probably my highlight quote of the week. It really was. But, yeah, you also make the point, too, that this is where, not counting the unaired pilot, we get the official point of seeing Victor as a doll, I do believe. So that and Ballard getting shot, again, not counting the unaired pilot, and ending up in the hospital and the whole melee thing, because at this point we still don't know what she's, you know, her involvement yet.
I have to say, I didn't know who was creepier, Melly or Lubov, because, you know, Lubov is coming, he's got his hoodie on, and he's, you know, trying to break into Paul's apartment, but as soon as Melly hears anybody, like, I mean, she had to have been sitting at the door, looking out the peephole all day long, and as soon as she hears somebody at Paul's door, she's bursting through, forget your key, and I'm just thinking, I think I would prefer the attacker breaking into my apartment as opposed to the weird, creepy neighbor.
Not only that, she had to keep that lasagna under a hot plate or something.
Yeah.
Nope, she just sits there and constantly bakes one after another until it comes home. That's why we never see her apartment, because that's all it would be. It would be huge trays of lasagna everywhere.
Wow. That's an image I'm going to have to work hard to get rid of.
Oh. But another thing I thought from a quote point of view, again, this is where it's great on the retrospective. Once we get past the Raina Trier kill herself and that all goes awry, but then Sierra's kidnapped, we get the point with Raina and Echo having their discussion when Raina's not going to do anything and Echo's kind of pushing her a little bit. And it's the continuity we see throughout the whole series where she gives the quote of getting what you want might not be the best thing for a person. that whole want and need thing. I thought I didn't, you know, first couple times through, I didn't remember that particular line, but it's peppered in here beautifully to remind us of that carrying out throughout the series.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. One character I really did enjoy was Raina's manager, Biz. I just thought he was a fun character. We've established that he's a previous client. You know, she says, I can get the twins before you. And I thought that was just great. And I just love his line. Someone's trying to kill Raina, and to my shock, it's not me.
Yes. That did work well. I also really like, too, is the... when we got near the end and they realized that Echo was, quote, you know, whatever you want to call it, rogue or off imprint, whatever the phrase is. And Adele tells Boyd, you know, not to take the shot, to let's see how it plays out. You just, again, you're seeing that duality of Adele, you know, and all her discussion about how this is her family and taking care of everyone. But at this point, she's willing to let that whole situation with two actives out there go to hell in a handbasket.
And that was one of the things that I really loved about this is, you know, I've been saying, I've been like renewing my love for Adele and her whole way of thinking and way of approaching things. And I just really loved her in this. I mean, with, you know, Reed Diamond, his name just totally escaped me, the security.
Right.
Guy, you know, coming at her saying, you know, this was, you know, she needs to be put in the attic and this, and her just kind of like, no, I kind of, she still stayed on target. She did what she was supposed to do. She, you know, was able to overcome and it's like, now in real business sense, she probably really should have been like, you're right, let's get rid of this. But there's enough of that almost kind of psychological experiment where, yeah, let's see how this goes.
Exactly. That's Adele, though. Nothing is ever inside the box for her. And that's what makes her character so interesting, is she'll take those risks, whether it's a good idea or not. She's going to let it play out. And her curiosity, I think, gets the best of her. And, you know, she has the gall to take those risks. And sometimes, as in this episode, it plays out well.
Yeah, exactly. But that's, you know, at this point, I was still kind of wondering just how freaky she was going to be, and this was certainly getting me concerned, certainly first time through.
Can we talk about Deechin Lachman? I mean, how cute was she in this episode?
Aww.
Well, I mean, I know they give her like sexy characters like in the next episode that we'll see, and I know a lot of people really liked those, but to me, when she was at her best, it was in episodes like this and Haunted, where she was playing these extremely geeky characters, and I don't know, that's where she shined for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was really nice. I mean, it was good, too, because we saw this not long after we saw her kind of as the Terminator character in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the range we were going to start to see was really kind of cool here.
I totally agree. She is just really one of the highlights of the show, and I'm very glad to see her doing other things going forward.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's something I think a lot of us now are hoping a lot of the alums from the show are going to get a lot more visible parts and such. And she certainly is right now, US being human.
Absolutely.
Yay.
Yes.
I'm still hoping for Victor, though. I had heard, I think it was about a year ago, USA was looking at a pilot for him. And I can't remember the kid's name, but if any of you watched Heroes, he was kind of the creepy kid that Claire was with for a little while. But they were supposed to be brothers, and they were going to kind of be like gigolos type thing. They were in a hotel, but they were like a different character every week. And, Victor was more the one that was going to be changing week to week. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's perfect.
Yeah. I heard it didn't get picked up.
No, it didn't. Very sad.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it did leave Inver open to be able to film the movie with Fran and Deechin, so we will get to see him.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Excellent. All right. Anyone else have any other points before we talk about some feedback?
One little point, and it's not so much about the episode, but it's funny how sometimes things can lead to. Biz makes a line about, you know, since Raina was singing for the mouse, and so you go, oh, okay, so they're implying that she was part of the, you know, the newer version of the Mickey Mouse Club. So just out of curiosity, I went to Wikipedia and looked up Mickey Mouse Club. No idea how many people came from that.
Oh, yeah.
Carrie Russell, Christine Aguilar, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Ryan Gosling, just to name a few.
Yeah.
It is just like, wow. Talk about really having a great eye on talent, whoever was casting that show. And so I thought it was great. And it, like I said, it just kind of blew my mind. I had kind of in the back of my mind realized there was a lot of talent on that. So just kind of an extra little bonus fact for our listeners.
And I thought it was kind of a whole thing that they were kind of tying back to Britney Spears with the whole, you know, used to sing for the mouse, and then the whole, you know, this isn't like, you know, shave your head and flash your junk kind of crazy.
Yes. Yes.
Which is probably my favorite line.
Some of the things are very subtle. Other ones are very blunt in terms of understanding where they were going with that. Yeah.
I do have to mention Eliza's singing voice. We have to mention that before we close discussion, because I'd say she's really good.
She sounded really well. And, you know, they had talked about in the early discussions that one of the things that she and Joss talked about was giving her a chance to do a lot of different things. And so I thought of that, you know, they're going, okay, let's check off the list, got to sing, you know. But she did sound good.
I wish they would have done a recording of the song, because I think Joss wrote it for the episode. But it was a good song, so.
Oh. I have had Freedom stuck in my head all day.
Yes, same. It's on my iPod, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we did get some great feedback from you folks on our, you know, on our Facebook group. We post up a message a couple days before we're going to record, asking if anybody has any thoughts. Same thing on Twitter. I just want to mention a couple of things here. Make sure we get them out there. You know, there were several comments, certainly on the Facebook group, about, I think Jen mentioned on there, you know, basically when we asked for feedback, she did say, like much like you were just saying, that Eliza is pretty and she sings good. In other words, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Which is, I think, similar to what a lot of folks thought. But also, the poster Olivia mentioned a good point about how she saw the similarities between Echo and the Dolls and the whole concept of pop stars and how, you know, people have to try to be someone they're not, how that all kind of comes into play there, which was an interesting topic, too. In terms of that, you know, the nature of show business and all. So some interesting stuff. We really appreciate you folks posting that up there. Also, Billy made a good point, which is something we talked about, was that he was concerned that the reason that many people chose not to watch the show was because they might have tuned in for this one. And again, it's, you know, looking much more like a surface show than a deep show based on what you see in most of this episode, which, again, I think a problem with TV shows. If you try to take them with just one small sampling, you really can't judge a show, and that certainly wouldn't have helped.
Yeah,
I agree.
Now, finally, we had an excellent question sent to us on Twitter, which I wanted to throw around for the four of us to touch on. We appreciate this one came in from Seamus, talking about or asking us, quote, do you think that I can skip this episode when I'm showing people, new people, the Dollhouse? In other words, is this a required viewing? Is this something maybe you should have them skip in the hope that it doesn't tarnish their image of the show? What do you folks think?
I don't think so. I think it should be watched with an addendum. You know, please note, this is not, you know, for future, this is not a clearer representation of what the rest of the series will be like. But I think a lot of the points that we've covered tonight, you know, the Echo's relationship with Sierra and, you know, Adele's curiosity with Echo, there's definitely a lot of things that I think need to be seen.
I agree, especially, I mean, you get the Victor reveal in here, you know, that he's a doll. And I think there's a lot of little things, especially within the dollhouse scenes that play a larger role as we move on throughout the series. So, and again, I'm just not a fan of those that watch one episode and say, oh, this is horrible. You know, let's not watch this show ever again because we tuned into the third episode of a show and it was kind of bad. You know, you have to give things a little time to work the kinks out, and Dollhouse is definitely worth it. So I would say watch it, and again, add that little addendum on the end that the show gets much better.
Yeah, I think I would tell someone that they should understand that they are building a world, and take, there are important things. In my other life, I'm going through Farscape for the first time. And so I'm watching one episode a week and kind of then enjoying the podcast. They're doing a rewatch on it. And there were episodes, I'm sure, that they wanted to say, hey, Jesse, just these aren't important, but you want to get the whole context. And that's what I would say someone trying to watch Dollhouse. First off, there aren't that many episodes.
Exactly.
And so you don't want to, and there is greatness in each one of them, even down to the small scene where Boyd says, do you want, can we get your treatment? Yeah, but afterwards, can I get his ass? You know, I'm thinking about it. You know, there are moments on any a week episode that is worth watching and seeing. So I definitely would say don't skip any of them, because they all kind of add up to the jigsaw puzzle, you know, that makes the whole series.
Yeah, excellent points all around. And that's, you know, I'm very much on the same page. No, I wouldn't skip it, but if you can, have them talk to you or email you shortly after they've seen this one, so they don't start rolling the eyes, as I know some folks did, you know, that, like you said, there's only 26 plus the unaired pilot to watch. So it may not be the strongest, but you can't appreciate the best ones without having some of the only, you know, so-so ones too.
Just tell them, be prepared. This is not a Charlie's Angels episode that accidentally made its way onto a Dollhouse DVD. We promise.
That's right.
We promise.
Though, if you want to have fun, you can make believe and just, you know, decide which one's fairer and which one's
And go for Charlie or Bosley.
He's like Bosley 2.0, I think, more.
I would say Adele's Bosley.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Or Charlie. Go. Yeah, Charlie would probably work better.
So someone right now is writing fan fiction. Hey, let's do a imaginary episode where.
Exactly. All right. Well, as you can tell, even if it isn't universally thought of as one of the best, we still do enjoy them and we do have fun with them. And we appreciate you all listening in to us as we discuss it. Again, one of the biggest parts of this podcast is very much the community aspect of it and you all getting involved and sharing thoughts. So as we mentioned at the beginning, we do have a Facebook group, Active Architecture, A Dollhouse Retrospective is the title. If you do a search, you know, pop in there. We're also on Twitter at Dolls Active. You know, we throw up podcast releases. And like I said, shortly before we record, we'll let you know if you want to give us feedback or you just want to send us a message with your thoughts, feel free to do that. And we also have the tried and true email address at activearchitecture@gmail.com. If you want to, again, send some thoughts, questions, or a differing opinion, knowing which episodes as they come up that you might want to share, just mark them which one they're for, and we can set them aside till we get to that point. But I also want to be sure, and Jesse, for coming on as our first of what will be several, and I think we'll have Jesse back as well, guest co-host. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
Well, yes, thank you
so much. I had a blast. I was hoping I did okay. I hope I passed the audition, as they say. I would love to be back in to talk more episodes.
Oh, definitely.
Very nice.
Definitely.
Oh, definitely.
Yep. So it was great. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun, gang. And hope everybody enjoyed it. And then, like we said, we look forward to your feedback. So we hope you all take care.
All right. Can I leave us with a quote?
Absolutely.
You can fire me, but bitch, don't think you can take me. I had to mention it. I had to mention it. My favorite line ever. It's awesome.
Can't top that. You're a superstar. Everyone knows who you are. You think you're so damn hot, 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 hot. You're a superstar. Everyone knows who you are. You think you're everything, but baby, you're not, 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 not. Superstar, superstar. Driving in your fancy car, wishing you could take me home. And the pedigree to flip the script and get to me, but you just can't get off your phone. Don't mean to brush your bubble, don't wanna waste your time. I got the feeling the priorities are out of line. Even though I know you're trouble, you're gonna do just fine. You rehearsed your lines and now it's time for you to shine. Squeeze at limousines, flash a little jewelry. You bought it all, but I'm not sold. The audience will never see the real you, cause it's VIP. You gave your soul, I get the role. Don't mean to burst your bubble, don't wanna waste your time. I got the feeling your priorities are out of line. Even though I know you're trouble, you're gonna do just fine. You rehearsed your lines and now it's time for you to shine. You rehearsed your lines and now it's time for you to shine.